Our lesson this evening is the basis for our message, the book of Romans, chapter 6. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer every part of yourself to him as an instrument of righteousness. This is the word of our Lord. Friends in Christ, grace and peace are yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm not sure if you've heard of a man named Cullen Jones. He's an Olympic swimmer. He was on the same team as other names you've heard of, I'm sure. Ryan Lochte, Michael Phelps. I'm not sure if everyone knows Cullen Jones or the fact that when he was 5 years old, he nearly drowned. He was at a water park. And he didn't know how to swim, and his inner tube flipped over. So a lifeguard had to come and rescue him. And as the story goes, that near drowning put Cullen Jones on the path to learn how to swim and on the path to 2 gold medals as well as 2 silver medals. And now he has been writing and expressing a desire to put out the idea that more people should be learning how to swim. I think he said there's something like 10 drownings every day on average, and that's 10 too many, according to Cullen Jones. You might say that based on who he is, Cullen Jones relives that near-death experience every day. I'd like to ask you something. Do you relive your baptism every day? I understand it wasn't a drowning that put you to death. We don't typically apply a whole lot of water, even with churches that immerse. You're not talking about really chance at drowning. Baptism, when we apply water, doesn't kill us. But you were under a death sentence long before you were aware of it, because you have a nature of sinfulness. You have an old Adam, an old self, a selfish pride, a desire for self-satisfaction. So you were doomed to death even before the news started putting out things about an epidemic. And yet your baptism was more life-changing than any near-death experience, because baptism puts you to death. But in baptism, you're not put to death alone. You're put to death with Jesus Christ, the Son of God himself. In baptism, you are buried with him. That makes it a momentous, life-changing event, an instant when a whole lot of things happen. God gives you a whole lot of blessings. Most notably, we talk about the forgiveness of sins. We talk about faith. We talk about a subjective justification where what Jesus did at the cross, all the things that we go through in the passion history of Lent, are appropriated and applied to each one of us at our baptisms. But it's not just that and rebirth and a few other justification things we might add that happen at baptism. At baptism, the Holy Spirit is given. And it's the moment when your sanctified life began. Your life of renewal, your newness of holy living. It's the first time you started to do good works and to obey God in a way that pleases Him. It's when the Holy Spirit turned your body into His temple and your conscience was activated to follow God's law, not begrudgingly, but cheerfully and spiritually. The power of the Holy Spirit resides in you thanks to your baptism. How useful that is during this time of Lent when we're talking about repentance. Some people, even some early Lutherans, like to describe repentance as a third sacrament. But really, when you read through the large catechism of Luther, when he brings that matter up, he really says, if you want to call it the third sacrament, that's fine, but really we're talking about the sacrament of baptism when you repent. Because baptism is nothing other than an earnest attack on the old Adam, that inner sinner, that inner self-glorying and pride. It's a full sail assault at sea on your inner sinner. And we need to repent of our sin. And that's a really great gift of baptism, that now that we have been plunged into the waters of baptism and the power of God's word, we can go back to God and drown our sinful self in repentance, in turning around 180 degrees towards the God who loves us and redeemed us at the cross. It's to do as the psalm that we sang says in another verse. It says, I confess my iniquity, I am troubled by my sin. It's to do as the repentant tax collector does in Luke 18. We often read it on Ash Wednesday, who says, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. It's to do as the prodigal son did, as we mentioned before in our confession and absolution. It's to do as that sinful woman did, who poured out her tears and dried Jesus' feet with her hair, because she knew this was the Savior who listens. In the Pirates of the Caribbean films, Davy Jones would keep telling his captives, dead men tell no tales. I'm not sure if you remember that. When that movie came out, I went around trying to impersonate him. Do you fear death? Dead men tell no tales. Davy Jones may be a harsh master of the seas of this world, but he and his locker have no claim on you in your baptism. Sin and death and the devil and hell may lay their claim on sinners, but since your baptism, they have no claim on you. Baptize, brothers and sisters, in Jesus. By faith alone to them, it's as if you've already suffered the cross of Jesus' death and punishment for our sin. But you do have tales to tell. And this is the tale that you are to tell. The baptism hasn't just saved you from things, sin, death, devil, and hell. But baptism has saved you for things. As St. Paul talks about not putting our bodies back into the plans and purposes of the devil as instruments of sin. But baptism has saved you for the purposes of doing good works. Baptism has saved you for the purpose of living a holy life. Baptism has saved you for the purpose of offering your parts to your neighbor, so you can help your neighbor in time of need, so that your neighbor can see the light of Christ reflected from you. On our own, a temptation is far too great to resist. On our own, a good work is far too great to do. We have the power of the one who raised dead flesh to life. We have the power of the Father who raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Now, just think about this argument from greater to lesser in Scripture. If God can raise from the dead, don't you think that He can help you fight the temptation of using bad language, impure speech, gossiping? If God can raise dead flesh to life, don't you think He can help you and aid you against your abuse of alcohol? If God can raise dead flesh to life, Don't you think God can assist you in being responsible, behaving on the internet? If God has raised dead flesh to life, don't you think he can give you chances to assist someone during this time of pandemic? That's the argument from greater to lesser, because we have a greater God than any of these lesser things that sometimes we find we can't do on our own. We have a God who was raised through the glory of the Father. And then clearly we too may live a new life by the power God unleashed in our baptisms. What does that new life look like? Well, we read it in the book of Ephesians. St. Paul also says in Colossians 2, "So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as you were taught, overflowing with thankfulness." In a way, what we mean with newness of life is that it begins in baptism. It means you get to navigate the waters of Jesus Christ's new life in a full-on attack against your old Adam, against your sinful flesh. Ramming speed to sink that battleship of the devil and sin and death so that you can take command of the waters for the navy of Jesus Christ. The new creation is there to grow strong and to be revived every time that we repent, every time we plunge the old Adam under those waters of your baptism. This is your life. This is your sanctified living. These are your seas. This is where you roam. This is where you get to drown sin. In that way, our baptism abides forever. Some would fall from it and sin. You would fall from it and sin, but you always have access to go back to your baptisms and find new life and a new way of living. You always have a way to battle against sin because of the blessings God has poured out into you at baptism. Remember it. Return to it. And also, in that baptism, find out that you are an Olympic gold medalist when it comes to loving your neighbor, when it comes to serving those in need. Because you were buried with Jesus Christ, no near-death experience could be quite as thrilling. In his name, amen.